105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the BizConnect radio show with myself, Martin White, and my co-host...
Lynette Wood.
Lynette, lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you, Martin.
It's beginning to look a lot like...
Christmas.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I won't give up a day job, obviously, due to singing, but it absolutely is. And I have my first mince pie today, Martin. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. And we've got tinsel... The studio is bedecked with tinsel.
It is, and a Christmas tree and reception.
Christmas tree and reception. So needless to say, we've got a bit of a Christmas theme to the show today. And we've got a fabulous studio guest with us as well. Who have we got, Lynette?
We've got Stefano from Macnade.
Stefano, lovely to have you with us.
It's lovely to be here. Thank you. Yeah, very Christmassy.
Fantastic. Good. I think what we'll do, Lynette, is we'll play a little bit of music. And when we come back, we'll talk to Stefano and we'll talk all about Macnade and all of the fabulous things that they're up to this Christmas. And then we'll talk about your side of the business as well. We'll talk about the hotel business and what you guys are up to at the Ashford International Hotel and other Q hotels around the country to help everybody have a cracking time this year.
Absolutely. Can't wait, Martin.
Brilliant. So stay with us, everybody, and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect,
the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Christmas edition of the BizConnect radio show. I'm delighted to say that we have got Stefano Cuomo with us today from Macnade Food Emporium. Stefano, lovely to have you with us.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
I'm sure people locally know of Macnade's because you have an original kind of shop in Faversham. You've just recently, or maybe a couple of years ago now, opened one in Ashford. And you've also just opened another outlet in Tunbridge Wells. So by way of an introduction, Stefano, tell us all about Macnade's and what you guys do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you're right about the one in Ashford. With COVID, it seems time sort of shifted and changed. So, yeah, my as we've established, Stefano is not the most Kentish of names, but Macnade, which is a family business, is a place. It's what our family farm was just outside of Faversham, and on my mother's side, we came to farm Macnade in the mid 1800s. And I get my Italian name from my father, who came across in the 60s when he met my mother. And so I have our family in Italy are based in the Bay of Naples on an island called Ischia. So you kind of have that Kent Italian heritage, which works pretty well with food. You know, Garden of England, all the wonderful produce we have here. And then obviously the Southern Mediterranean cooking heritage, which yeah, blends nicely with that.
Fantastic. So just describe what you guys actually do at Macnade, because obviously, you know, I've been there, Lynette, I think you've been there as well. But
yep.
Just for the uninitiated, how would you describe Macnade? What is it that you guys offer?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I mean, what we talk about is sort of creating communities around you know, people who love and appreciate, you know, quality food and drink. Mm. And that really is the key to it. So Faversham, we have a principal food hall that did start out when we farmed there. We stopped farming about 20 years ago. It started off as a farm shop of the farm. So the produce that my father was growing, my mother was involved in the business as well, would be sold in the shop. And then as that business evolved, it took on more and more groceries, and to the point that we no longer farm, but we have that site there. And for all intents and purposes, it's sort of a premium supermarket. I mean, it's, you know, that kind of doesn't do it justice in that sense. But it is, yeah. We have greengrocery, we have delicatessen, butchery, all sorts of departments. You can do a complete shop.
Yeah.
And then we have cafe on site as well as a number of other food and drink businesses. In Ashford, it's sort of restaurant led, and then we have delicatessen, wine shop, greengrocery in there as well. In a site that used to be the old cattle market again. So that sort of that link to that agricultural heritage here in Kent. And then our latest site in Tunbridge Wells is predominantly cafe-based, and we're starting to build the retail up in that space, and it's inside Hooper's, which is a heritage department store, right bang in the middle of Tunbridge Wells. And so for us, it's very much about front-ending some of the wonderful supply chains we have here in Kent, really telling the stories and narratives around those products, getting people to understand the difference between what you might find on the shelves of the supermarket versus what you can find in sort of independent sector like ours, and then looking at other sites as we can move forward to take that kind of experience through to other places within Kent and further afield.
Mm. So talking about farming and your original farm, Macnade, in Faversham. Are we talking fruit and veg? Are we talking seasonal vegetables predominantly? What's your kind of approach to grocery retail?
Yeah, well, so if you go right back to when my family came to Macnead, it was mixed use. Yeah, so we'd been a hop farm back then, as well as arable, livestock. In fact, we used to have the petrol station either side of the road. And so again, produce was being sold directly from those petrol stations, and very much the retail side. Mm. And then my father, when he started to grow, well, 79, the year I was born, that's when kind of Macnead as a retail outlet really then evolved. He was growing weird and wonderful crops in a couple of, yeah, so 20 acres on the Ashford Road. Yeah, the likes of Moish too, you know, you find purple raspberries, tay berries, all sorts of weird and wonderful produce. I think Moish 2 is always a fun one we use, which is now kind of staple fare on the supermarket shelf, but you can imagine 30, 40 years ago, wasn't readily seen. So that's what he was growing that and selling that directly. And now we don't, as I say, we focus on the operational retail side of things, creating the experiences we talked about before, the kind of favourite places, sort of the emotive experiences that people can really learn about their produce. And seasonality-wise, we will buy direct from farmers here in Kent, as well as direct from Covent Garden. We'll also bring in directly where we can from Italy and Spain at times. But there's seasonality is a key part of it. But the narrative and the provenance behind it is what we really focus on as well, so that we can answer the questions that customers have when they come in and ask where their produce is from.
That's really important, isn't it? And I guess going back to your father's roots in Italy, food in Italy is sort of second to none. Take tomatoes, for example. You know, the flavour that you get from a tomato that's been kind of grown in the outdoors in Italy, you know, in the Mediterranean kind of climate, there's a difference there, isn't it? It's not like buying any supermarket tomato. And I guess that's your focus. Your focus is on quality, I guess, experience.
Absolutely. My father, when he, and again, to be very clear, it was my father and mother who really pushed the business. And my father was, you know, he was a grower in effect. So he took front and centre on that side of it and buying the produce. But in Italy, we use a phrase, qualità prezzo, right? So this idea of price to quality ratio, it's important that you really provide the best possible quality you can to the price you can. And of course, it's commercial business, and that sometimes gets forgotten within the independent sector. It's not just a case of trying to pump up prices because we're small independent business. They're quality products that have a process and production method that requires a certain return.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, take tomatoes, you know, where we're from in southern Italy, you grow these tomatoes in San Marzano, for example, was one that might be known.
Yeah,
the intensity of that saline sort of conditions, quite salty, dry, arid, right on the edge of the Mediterranean, means you get an intensity of flavour in these products. It's fantastic, second to none, that said, I also know that some of the best tomatoes I've ever had were from my grandfather's greenhouse here in Kent. So if you get the conditions right, you know, you can find it. But big difference from what you'll find on the supermarket shelf.
I think once you try something, you know, premium or local or grown like that, I think it's really difficult to go back to anything else. And you really do realise the difference between, you know, a supermarket, obviously mass-grown product, etc., compared to obviously a local product. And I love local fruit and veg. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're finding, what's interesting in the world, and we touched on this earlier on, is the fact that you're getting some pretty dynamic systems to be able to deliver larger volume produce. So for us, this is part of what we kind of, you know, when we look at scale and the desire to grow and push forward, yes, it's exciting as a business, but also it's trying to be part of the challenge of scaling supply chains that are sustainable, as opposed to what historically over the last decades with the growth of supermarkets have been growing supply chains that weren't really considering sustainability of them. So yeah, local and seasonal is where you want to be heading. Flavour invariably is best when it's local and seasonal, but at the same time is looking and saying, right, can we help support larger production methods that maintain flavour,
help keeping that quality that you still want in terms of the quality that you still want.
And I think what's interesting, Ken, as well, we have some real, take NIAB, you've got East Malling, you've got some of these scientific centres that are really looking at sort of next generation produce, because there's a nostalgia around local as well, which I think is wonderful and hugely important in building the communities in that sense. But it's got to be balanced, I think, as well, with the ability to have sustainable produce in a broader supply chain.
So, and people can actually come to Macnead and sit down and have a lovely meal as well. You have a cafeteria, but you do hot and cold food as well.
So it's cafe. I mean, again, Faversham, we've got a cafe restaurant. Yeah, that lovely term brunch, of course. So sort of breakfast through to breakfast through to to tea and afternoon eating. Mm-hmm. The idea with that was always to, one was we wanted decent coffee. Being Southern Italians, decent espresso coffee. so we had to go out and find some ourselves. And Kent were very lucky. Now we've got lots of roasters who do a good job. And also showcasing some of the produce that we have. So whether that's the fruit and veg through to the bakers we work with around Kent. All sorts and very much that casual approach to eating and drinking.
And the cheese. The cheese is lovely.
That's a really good point, actually, because the visual side of food, you do your traditional kind of supermarket shop and everything's enclosed in packaging. And it's typically some sort of, throwaway, single-use, cellophane wrap, whatever it is. I mean, I can't believe the amount of stuff that ends up immediately in our bin at home when we do our weekly shop. But when you go to Macnaid, everything is kind of laid out in baskets, all the kind of the fresh, the fruit and vegetables and all the produce. You can actually see it. And you can kind of, experience it on a kind of visual level before you actually take it home and experience the taste difference as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a hugely important aspect, right, is the fact that we think of, food and drink is associated primarily with a sense of taste. Now, of course, it tends to be the last sense we use when we're actually eating and drinking, right? And so in a shop like ours, you come in, you can smell the produce, the visual impact of seeing the colours and the textures, they might pick something up. Obviously in safer times. Last thing you tend to actually do, having smelt the food, is then actually put it in your mouth and taste it. We associate so much with it. So it is, it's hugely evocative experience. And that's, again, in Faversham, where we're battered old sheds, but beautiful arrays of produce. And likewise in the other sites, I think you're right. I mean, the sense within food and drink is hugely important. And then if you know the stories behind those, the products as well, not only do you get that emotive aspect of all your senses tingling, but you then understand where the produce comes from, what to do with it, which what our guys will help.
You feel like you're there, don't you, almost?
Food and drink is what makes us human, right? And but having those elevated experiences within it, really what drives it forward.
Right, fantastic. I think what we'll do, we'll play a little bit of music again. And when we come back, Stefano, I'd like to talk about what you guys are doing at Macnaid's around Christmas this year and how people can kind of get involved in store there as well. So do stay with us, everybody, and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, to our Christmas-themed BizConnect radio show today. I'm delighted to say that we've got Stefano Cuomo from Macnaid in the studio with us today. Stefano, we've been talking about the Macnaid food emporiums in Ashford and Tunbridge Wells and also originally in Faversham. And we were talking before the break a little bit about the importance of food provenance, in other words, knowing your producers, knowing your supply chain, knowing where your raw ingredients, if you like, come from. Just tell us a little bit about that in your own words, if you can, in terms of the importance that you put on that as a business.
Yeah, and I think for us it goes. I mean, we talked about local as well. Local is hugely important. I think not just because of the short supply chain, but also the importance it has to a community in its own right. I think food and drink and production sits at the heart of that. And Macnaid is a working farm. Obviously understood that community input. But the idea of the provenance is also understanding what producers are doing, I think, more broadly than that. And if we think, we work closely with an organisation called the PFLA, the Pasture Fed Livestock Association. And they're farmers who only use a pasture system. So their cattle feed solely and sheep. Feed solely and chickens more and more now as well. Feed solely on grass. It might be some silage they cut from the grass, but the impacts of that are that in effect they don't buy in feed which will have been grown elsewhere, potentially on land that could have been used for crop for human consumption. So it then becomes about an environmental discussion around that. So not only do you know where it comes from and it's local, but they tend to be farmers who are quite engaged in their the biomass of their farms as well, about the soil health, about sequestration of carbon, use of water, etc. So you have a much broader discussion around the importance of those farms. And I think particularly when we look at beef, for example, where there can be quite a negative conversation with it, and rightly so, with some of the mass production, actually you see some of the farmers involved in their beef production in these grass systems and really proactive in environmental protection, right? So I think that's where the provenance piece comes into it, is not only do you understand the locality and the community stories and narratives, you can start to have a discourse directly with farmers who are looking to... That, let's put it this way, that not all systems are the same. You know, there are differences within different production methods, and I think that's a good example of where provenance can be so important.
Yeah. And local supply chain, I guess, within that as well. You know, food miles, it's also topical at the moment, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I think yeah, just to move on that, it's always been something we've found. I mean, local, for me, on a number of factors. I mean, there's, yeah, I certainly know, but if you know where produce comes from, there's a sense of connection, as there should be with food, that it's not just a commodity that you chuck away. And I think that's hugely important. And then again, if you know it comes from you know fields that you may pass on a daily basis, again, it gives you that tie, that sense of pride in sort of the basic day-to-day life, which I think is a wonderful thing. Mm. And I think then there are environmental implications wrapped up in obviously sort of the longer supply chains. Mm. I think I'm always keen to stress as well, local for the sake of local, you know, I don't think it helps anyone out. I mean, poor quality produce produced in a manner that's not particularly useful, but it's local, it isn't necessarily a good thing. But but no, I think this is what people are looking for, is to understand the supply chains, understand where produce comes from. Mm. And, you know, if you can buy it locally in season, yeah, it doesn't get much better than that. Mm.
And I think that whole idea of community identity as well, you know, as you said, you know, identifying with, you know, where your food actually comes from, and being able to, you know, possibly, you know, drive past, you know, an orchard where, you know, there's the farm shop where you buy your apples, you know, in the autumn.
Well, we were talking about Ragusa and the pasta you had. Yeah, for me it's the same thing. If I can sit down and every ingredient I can see on my plate, I know where it's come from, I know the people behind it. It validates what I'm doing. I know that, again, through that purchase, that's gone directly back into the local economy. I know as well that the effort and energy those people are putting into the produce. So I think it does it. These are really important links whereby, you know, the traditional supermarket shopping, yeah, it's just about price and speed, right? I don't know where the stuff comes from. I just chuck it in my basket, pay it through. Yeah, I can get a better offer, cheaper offer in another supermarket next week. I go over to them, then I come back again. Yeah, very different way of, whereas, you know, I'm thinking it now, I'm sort of sausages and mash, you know, I sit down, I know that our butchery would have made the sausages. I know that the pork will have come from two or three producers here in Kent. We've got potatoes would have come through from Kent. We've got some cars from Tenterton and across Kent more broadly. You know, so you start to see everything you're eating, you're linked directly to it, and that is emotionally hugely important.
Yeah, and people might associate that with, you know, inflated prices and you know, much more expensive, but of course that's not necessarily the case either, is it? You know, when we're talking, you know, when we're comparing carrots, for example, that you would buy in a supermarket with carrots that I can buy in your shop, it's not necessarily the case.
No, I think we've, again, well, I'm a baby, I was born in 79, so during the 80s we were told sort of, yeah, we're sort of European, middle class, life of excess, right? You'd be able to take whatever you want. Yeah, we just consume too much, right? And also we expect it for too cheap. And I think with produce, there is a real reason behind pricing of what produce should be, particularly if, and there should be a fair and balanced supply chain so that everyone is receiving what's required through that. But as you say, on tip vegetables in particular, we find that our pricing structure is not different from from that in the supermarket, but you then look at the quality of the actual eating of the product, invariably it is better.
And the whole experience that we were saying, you know, the fact that I can come in and I can see it laid out and I can see it, you know, smell it, you know, touch it, you know, it's not in a cellophane wrapper.
So the funny thing about it is the fact that when we started off, go back to sort of retailing more seriously, sort of 40 or so years ago, supermarkets have fridges. You know, oh, wouldn't it be great to have a fridge? You can put all your produce in and keep the shelf life longer. Of course we can afford fridges. We just take so produce goes out on tables. Now, the beauty of that is, of course, it sells through and you can smell it, right? Yeah. And people, oh, I can't believe the smell of the place. I've never smelt food like this. Well, it's because normally it's wrapped up. So there is a real real importance to that, I think. Yeah. And, you know, so... but I think just the other element as well, we touched on, was, I can't wait to the point whereby, as in grocery, we can be quite explicit about the costs within what people are paying, rather than just looking at cheap food as the supermarkets have pushed. Do you know what? There are whole layers of cost in this. Mm. Yeah, and these are what these different layers of costs go out to. So people can really understand that and appreciate that. And I think a lot of our customers do, and as they come into us, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for sort of a trusted relationship whereby they feel we're supporting that supply chain and providing the product that's right.
Yeah. Let's talk about Christmas and Christmas at McNaid.
Love Christmas. Love Christmas.
You know, tell us what's going on, you know, because I know you do things in store all the time. So what's kind of happening at the moment?
Yeah, so we have we've had some tastings again this year. We obviously have to be very careful, and the guys put good protocols in place to make sure it's all safe as can be. And we've traded throughout the pandemic, and so sort of refined processes to make sure people feel safe. And so yeah, there's always that side of it. Mm-hmm. Hampers for us are a big part of this year. We talked about it, not only again, I did particularly last year where people weren't able to see each other so much. Hampers were very popular, whether that's in a corporate sense, or indeed sort of the friends and family. Mm-hmm. It's not for everyone, but we've seen some wine. Mm-hmm. It's something that we've found a real interest in. Again, some of those things people have moved away
not
from.
Not for everybody. Wine's not for everybody.
Well, you know, oh, I was going to kind of fruit
juice
in a minute.
It's for us, isn't it?
But I think it's what was one of the things about wine, and we touched on this earlier on, right? The importance of Kentish wine. You know, it's just had this explosion. Now it's been there and it's been grown, but the people's appreciation of it. And so we're certainly seeing that as a trend coming through this year, is that, you know, you can pick up an incredible bottle of Kentish sparkling for £30-35, which, you know, is not cheap, but at Christmas you might treat yourself. Mm-hmm. And the reality of it is you're going to be in and around the area of that sort of price for champagne in the supermarket, right? Mm-hmm. Not on discount. and again, touching on, on my way back to Faversham, as I drive through Faversham, in fact, if I was going to Ashford, I mean, I'll pass several vineyards on either one of those journeys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so again, the idea of having a Christmas lunch with Kentish turkey and Kentish wine and sparkling that you're popping open that was grown just down the road from you, I think it's a wonderful thing. Right?
Can I get my turkey as well at Macnay? Yeah, Do I need to pre-order it, or can I pop in and buy one?
We're going digital. So you say digital. So we've got all our ordering online, and that's been a big part for us, and we can all do it in store as well, so encourage everyone to come in, and that's part of the service, that people who do want that face-to-face interaction, then absolutely our shops will do that. But online, yeah, we just revamped the website, so we'll have those ordering online as well. And yeah, it's Kentish turkeys, cheese boards as well, and we get wonderful Kentish produce as well, as you imagine, Italian, French cheeses, wines on there, all manner of green grocery. We had our first proper frost a week and a half ago. Mm. A bit of frost this morning, so again, that's the important line for the Brussels sprouts to mark that occasion that they're now, in fact, I had some lovely sprouts good work friend of the weekend. So yeah, the produce is all there online, but also in store. So, yeah.
Well, none of us were able to celebrate Christmas in Kent properly last year, were we? It was
tearful.
It was cancelled in Kent. So I think this year we all need to kind of treat ourselves that little bit more. So on that note, Stefano, give us a shout out for the website where people can go online and order a turkey or a hamper, or, you know, tell us where your emporiums are as well, so that we can pop in and have a look for ourselves.
Brilliant. Yeah, we try and keep it fairly simple. So website's www.macnead.com. We've got the live shops on there. You can go and buy hampers directly through there, order Christmas goodies as well, but also very happy to do bespoke services with hampers, and that's a key part of it. So get in touch with the team through that website. Mm-hmm. And then we're Faversham for our food hall and cafe restaurant in Faversham, just off the A2. Ashford, right bang in the centre at Elwick Place, below the Picture House Cinema, with parking there. And that's, again, a restaurant cafe with deli, wine, great green grocery, broader retail. And then in Tunbridge Wells, newly opened up in the Hooper's department store, where we've taken their old cafe restaurant up on the second floor, and that's going great guns. So again, great coffee,
fantastic
brunch, come find us there.
Brilliant. Well, we look forward to doing that, don't we, Lynette?
We absolutely do. I've never been to Faversham. I've been to Ashford a lot, but I've never been to Faversham, and I'm going to take a trip over.
Come to Faversham, sort of the mothership, yes, that's where the farm used to be. This is one of the joys of a scaling SME, right? You start with one site, but actually, yeah, Macnade is, it's a way of being for us, it's a way of thinking, a way of interacting with food and drink, so any one of our sites will deliver that.
Fantastic. So. Well, Stefano, thank you so much for being with us today to help kick Christmas off, I think, in the right spirit, as it were. So fabulous to have you with us.
Oh, thank you.
Lynette, I think what we'll do is we'll play a little bit more music, and when we come back, we'll talk to you.
Okay.
And we'll talk about all the fabulous things that are going on at Kew Hotels this Christmas, including the Ashford International just up the road from us as well. So do stay with us, and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, to the festive episode of the Biz Connect radio show with myself, Martin White. In the studio, my fabulous co-host,
Lynette Wood.
And we've also got
Stefano Cuomo from Matneed.
Stefano, lovely to have you with us as well. Lynette, I think we're going to turn to you now, and you're going to tell us about all the wonderful, exciting party things mm-hmm. that are going on at Kew Hotels, including the Ashford International.
Yes, okay, wonderful. So I only went to the Ashford International last week. As a role, I'm a key account manager for Kew Hotel, so I'm not always at the Ashford Hotel, but it is my favourite local hotel, as you know. And I had a text from a customer that was booked in there that just said to me, oh my goodness, I've just walked into the Ashford International Hotel and it looks incredible. It's blew my mind away. I was like, I haven't even seen it yet. So I asked the team to send me some photos. I did actually put them on my LinkedIn. But it just looks really, really gorgeous. They have, again, gone to town with their Christmas decorations this year. And I recommend anybody to pop down and have a photo in the sleigh.
It always looks fabulous, yeah. No, I'm a big fan of it, yeah. But tell us, on a kind of party level, you know, there's lots of talk at the moment around Christmas parties. I think it's fair to say that perhaps businesses are kind of going out on a departmental level rather than on a kind of an entire business level. Tell us what's on offer at Kew Hotels. What can you kind of cater for?
So in obviously Kew Hotels, we've got the 21 hotels across the UK, and every hotel's doing a Christmas party night. Mm-hmm. They're doing Christmas residential, so you can obviously stay for 3 days over the Christmas period, including your Christmas lunch. And then most hotels are doing the New Year gala dinner as well. So we've done that pre-pandemic, and again we're doing it this year. And I have to say, numbers are looking really good. People are wanting to party.
Good, fantastic. And when it comes to things like party nights, I guess there's a number of sort of options there. You as a hotel, could be the Ashford International, might be one of your other hotels, presumably enable people to kind of access that on a per seat basis, is that right? So you can have a table or you can have three places. How does that work?
Yeah, so I'll talk about Ashford International, because obviously that's our local hotel. So we have a number of events going on through the end of November and obviously December, and you can either purchase a seat, you can purchase a table, or if you wanted to have a private party, there is that option as well. I mean, there are not that option now because obviously all dates are booked, but again for 2022, if anybody wanted a private party, that is available. And normally you just have to cater for a minimum amount of people within a room to have it as a private party.
So we can come along in the evening and we can celebrate, and there's dancing presumably, there's a DJ, and it's a Christmas meal as well presumably.
Absolutely, but we actually do have at the Ashford International, and I will mention it, a vintage lunch. So it's not always about an evening get together. On the 15th of December they've got a vintage lunch that starts at 12:30, finishes at 4, and with live singers there in terms of that 1940s and the vintage theme.
Fabulous, okay, good. And in terms of you know, cancellation policies and things like that, obviously people are a little bit nervous at the moment. Is there some kind of reassurance there for people on that level?
I think in terms of our cancellation policies, and we've had the same for meetings, we have done all year, and we are running it around until next August. If your event is under £5,000, you can cancel 3 days prior to arrival without charge. If it's under £20,000, you can cancel 7 days prior to arrival without charge. So that has been tricky for some of those larger clients if they wanted to, you know, cancel their meetings or cancel their Christmas parties. But I think that we've tried to be flexible and understand where we possibly can.
And presumably, if people need to or want to, perhaps they're travelling to the you know, to the venue, they can stay overnight as well, and you can kind of wrap that up as a package as well.
Yep, you can stay overnight. If you're coming to just an event for one day, you can obviously wrap that up, and you can obviously stay overnight and have your breakfast the following morning, use the spa facilities. They've got a swimming pool at Ashford, obviously, and the gym if you wanted to. Although I'm not sure after a few glasses of wine I'd want to use the gym.
Wouldn't be top of my list, perhaps, the next day.
Or obviously, like I say, in terms of the Christmas festive theme, you can stay for 3 days, which includes Christmas Eve, Christmas Day and Boxing Day. And you can have all the options that come in there. And that comes as a package, as a total amount per person, but it's included all your meals, etc.
Fantastic as well. And you've just had a sort of quite a major refurb of the hotel, haven't you, as well, at Ashford. It's got a wonderful new kind of reception area layout as well, where again, you know, that's actually open for businesses to come and access kind of day to day, have kind of small meetings, perhaps less formal meetings in those kind of comfortable kind of chair areas as well.
Yep, so pre-pandemic the Ashford International foyer area was completely refurbished, and then there's lots of plugs, etc., so if you wanted to plug your laptops in and work from there, you can grab a cup of coffee from the bar. And then just sort of summertime leading into sort of autumn this year, the Canterbury Suite and the Kent Suite were also refurbished. So really nice meeting space that's been refurbished on that ground floor too.
Fantastic, good. So gift vouchers, is that something that, that you offer as well if somebody wanted to do a gift voucher?
Yep, we do. You can just buy them online. You can get delivered to you, obviously, on your email address, and you can print those and send them off, and that's not a problem at all. You can definitely get vouchers from us, and that would be great. You can pop into the spa. We sell Elemis as products, so you can get your Elemis products from the spa too. And I'm talking about the spa. The hotel gym is going to have a huge refurbishment in December, come January, when we all want to get fit.
Fantastic. And Christmas lunch. Did you mention Christmas lunch? Can we pop along and book a table for Christmas lunch if we wanted to, or is that sold out now?
It's nearly sold out, Christmas Day lunch. And actually, this year, we're only doing residents that are staying with us over a three-day period rather than individual people coming in.
That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. And what about the inevitable kind of questions around COVID safety, and what's the kind of policy in the hotel at the moment? Because there's some direction, I think, from government, but it's not necessarily as black and white as it could be, as usual.
Yeah, and I think that that's difficult in terms of hospitality. There is no really real direction. There's no legal requirement to wear your mask within hospitality, as there are on transport, etc. So, you know, we obviously are doing where you obviously sanitise your hands as you come in, social distance as much as possible. We're not sort of cramming our Christmas parties in terms of how we were maybe in previous years, you know, so there is some space between those tables. We're just trying to be sensible, really.
Stefano, what's your policy on sort of COVID safety at the moment? When people come to Macnay, do we need to bring a mask? Is it advisable? What's going on?
Yeah, no, I mean, with retail, it's masks. And we've been trading throughout the pandemic, and so our guys have got pretty accustomed to dealing with that. All our team have always worn masks. And I think it's twofold. One is the safety aspect of it, and then also just trying to make everyone feel comfortable so there aren't sort of awkward questions to be asked. And part of what we've found with our shops and food halls is that, as well as being able to go out and get your groceries, it's a nice trip out when perhaps bumping around the supermarkets isn't quite as pleasurable. So the team are there absolutely to make sure that, again, the other element we've seen as well, which will become relevant with Christmas, is just management of queues and numbers. And I think in different spaces, and the team have done that well over the last 18 plus months. As a core part, is making sure that all our customers and clients feel safe and happy to shop.
Yeah, and I guess you're encouraging people not to necessarily touch the food as much as they might have done in the past, or
absolutely yeah. it goes without saying, and the stations are there for sanitizing and implements to help with that, and plenty of the team there to help wherever needed. So
yeah, fantastic, good. So Lynette, let's talk a little bit more broadly about Kew Hotels, because obviously it's not just the Ashford International Hotel. If somebody wanted to book a golfing break, for example, over Christmas and New Year, you've got some wonderful hotels in the stable there as well, haven't you?
We have got some, don't talk to me about golfing, Martin. It's not my forte. Oh my goodness, he's gone and dropped me in it.
It wasn't a personal question there, but I was just thinking about your hubby.
Oh yeah, my hubby does play golf too, or tries to. We have some gorgeous, really lovely, you know, they're more necessarily up north. We've got Dunstan Hall in Norwich, which is obviously closer to us. It's a really lovely hotel. We've got Alton Hall in Leeds, Forest Pines in Lincolnshire, but we have some championship golf courses, and they are really nice with gorgeous hotels too. And you know, if obviously the other half doesn't want to go, they want to go to the spa, they've got spa too. So a bit for everybody.
Yeah, fabulous. So if you are thinking of getting away, I mean, again, you know, there's a lot of people that might have been thinking about getting away abroad this Christmas, but again, that's becoming slightly complicated with all the kind of testing restrictions and everything. You know, have another staycation. Treat yourself to a stay at home.
We're very, very lucky across our 21 hotels that they are not your typical corporate hotels, many of them. You know, we've got some gorgeous halls, some really, you know, period properties, and some really lovely places to go for a staycation.
Yeah, fabulous. Good. Well, on that note, what's the best way to inquire about that? Inquire about the Ashford International, inquire about the kind of the Kew Hotels collection more widely.
So we've just got our website is www.qhotels.co.uk, and you can find all of our hotels on there, and then there's lots of different angles, whether you want to go Christmas, golf, spa, can just pick and choose what you want to have a look at.
Fabulous. And I think the Ashford International Hotel has its own website as well. If you did a search for that on Google.
They do indeed, yeah. AshfordInternationalHotel.co.uk.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Lynette, thank you so much for that. Whistle stop tour of everything Christmassy that's going on at the Ashford International and Kew Hotels, this season. Lots to kind of ponder and think about there, which I think is incredibly exciting. Yeah. I'm struggling to see you a little bit today because you've got tinsel on your microphone. So,
I know, yeah, I can see through the tinsel, Martin.
Very Christmassy. Brilliant. Well, look, we've got a small final part of the show to bring you today, which we'll do when we come back after break. So we're going to play a little bit of music and then we're going to tell you about a couple of networking events that are going on, festive networking events that are going on that you might want to take part in the next couple of weeks as well. So do stay with us and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final part of our Christmas Biz Connect radio show today. We've had a fabulous show. We've been talking all things food and parties, and hopefully you're getting into the Christmas spirit yourself as well. And hopefully we've given you some ideas for Christmas this year. But we just got a couple of events that we wanted to give a shout out for, Lynette, haven't we?
We have.
Christmas networking events. So, you know, business related networking, but very much with a festive feel. So, Lynette, what have you got for us?
Well, I just wanted to read this. So it says, throw on a Christmas jumper, fill up your pockets with business cards and come and get uncomfortably full of mince pies with us. Ooh. So and festive networking at the Marlow Theatre is a Thursday the 16th of December and it's from 5 till 7. And you get to meet the cast of Jack and the Beanstalk.
Fabulous. So this is the Marlow Theatre in Canterbury. Their panto this year, Jack and the Beanstalk. And who's playing the lead?
Oh, it's Duncan from Blue, I think.
Duncan from Blue.
All rise.
Yeah, if you'd like to meet Duncan from Blue and the rest of the cast, pop along to the Marlowe's networking. Where do we find out more information about that, Lynette?
Well, I think the easiest way is just to go to Supply My Business page, which is www.supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Yes, and it'll be on the community page there. Perfect, thank you. There's one other networking event that I wanted to give a shout out for, and that's our very good friend Terry Botfield from the Marsh Network, who's been on the show with us this year. Terry is running an online Zoom networking, the last one that they're doing before Christmas. It's this Wednesday. It's normally £5, but it's actually free for everybody. But you will have to wear your Christmas jumper. So that is the marshnetwork.co.uk, or again, you can find out all the information about that on the supplymybusiness.co.uk website on the community page there as well. And I think that brings us to the end of the show, Lynette.
I think it does, and I'm feeling really festive now.
Good, you've had your mince pie.
I've had my mince pie. I've got lovely tinsel here.
The studio's looking fabulous with the tinsel. Stefano, of course, has whetted our appetite for all things kind of food related as well. Thank you, Stefano.
Well, no, thank you for coming. Yeah, look, having me here. Yeah, brilliant.
It's been great to have you on the show, and I think that really kind of brings us to the end, really. We're not going to be on in 2 weeks' time because I don't really think there's much point doing a show on the 20th of December, too close to Christmas when everybody's so incredibly busy. New Year's Day is on a Saturday, of course, next year as well, which means we'll actually be getting the Monday off, I think, as a bank holiday, Lynette.
We are, yes.
So I think you and I will be back on again round about the 17th or 18th, if you're around?
The 17th of January is a Monday.
Yes, there you are. That was a good guess. So hopefully we'll be back with you on air on the 17th of January.
In 2022, Martin.
In the meantime, we wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a fabulous New Year celebration as well. Stefano, thank you so much for joining us today. You've been awesome and telling us all about Macnades. Lynette, thank you for being on the show to tell us all about the wonderful party nights and Christmas lunches going on at the Ashford International Hotel and the Kew Hotels. But for now, I think we'll leave it there. So it's goodbye from us.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, guys.
105.9 Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.